For the last 5 weeks, we're now in week number six, we have been going through the seven last words from the cross. Now, I know that this week is a little odd because we're celebrating Palm Sunday. We're talking about words from the cross, and we're pointing towards Easter. So I get that we're doing both flashback and foreshadowing in our conversation today. You remember the story of Palm Sunday. Jesus comes down this winding road, down what would have been a mountainside, so about 400 feet drop on the side of this mountain, with Mount of Olives, through just olive tree after olive tree after olive tree, coming down this path, and the crowd has shown up for some reason this year, and they have brought palm branches, which are symbols of victory. And we have Jesus riding on a donkey, mocking and imitating the arrival of Pilate coming into the town from a different path, who would have been riding a great stallion with members of the military. So he's mocking this military parade with palm branches being waved, and the crowd is saying the word Hosanna, which of course we know means... Pastor, do you think we're going to remember this? You told us this last year. Why would we remember something a year later? Critical to our point this morning is Hosanna means save us. Save us. And they probably are saying it, some of them, in a military context. Save us from the Romans. Kick them out. Come be victor. This Palm Sunday is a victory parade, but we know that in a few days, on a Thursday night, this same crowd is going to stop saying, save us, and they're going to start saying, crucify him. So let's not get too carried away with the crowd's perception that this is going to be a great military victory. It turns out that the crowd is a little bit fickle and may be able to be moved or swayed one way or another. Let me remind you that this path to today's word of victory has gone through five words that didn't feel an awful lot like victory. It's important for us not to skip the more challenging words and skip right ahead to Easter. And sometimes we do that. The path we have gone through includes the word pardon, which should remind us that we were in need of forgiveness. That we, like the thief on the cross, need for someone to say to us, today I assure you, you will be with me in paradise. And the only reason somebody needed assurance is because there was doubt, and the only reason we speak the word of compassion from the cross is because he speaks it into the midst of grieving. The only reason that Jesus has to speak a word of trust is because it feels like it's all lost. And last week, we had this incredible reminder that God became fully human, and that this cross is not a seems like it might have hurt. It was a great time of suffering, that there was a cost. I hear this word, it is finished, and I think of it in a couple of different ways based on my life experience. When you hear the phrase, it is finished, what do you think? It's all done. At the last month of my mom's life, it was around July 4th, and my younger brother had been taking care of her, and she had been sick for a while. I guess she had something like pneumonia, and it became my shift, my turn to come over and hang out with her. And when I walked in the door to her house, she said, I'm done. And as her son, I thought, oh my gosh, she's given up. She's not going to try to fight this illness. And when I told my aunt, her sister, that she said, I'm done, she said, yeah, what she was saying is, I'm ready to go to the hospital. I heard it entirely different. I'm done. I've had enough. I'm through with this. I'm through with you. For some folks, it's thank God it's finished. What a relief. I'm through. For some, it's a matter of fact. It's over. I'm done. Complete. My 4-year-old granddaughter says things when she finishes a puzzle. She said, I did it. And so I kind of mix all these things together as I hear these words, it is finished. Some of these don't sound all that victorious. They sound a little bit like, oh, good, I'm sure I'm glad that's done. The way some folks feel after a long sermon. But the word in Greek implies something more. Now, Greek is the word that is the language that it was written down in, but it's not the words that Jesus spoke. We believe Jesus spoke Aramaic and Hebrew. And this word that I'm going to parse a little bit is Greek. And it means something like fulfilled. I have finished the race. The mission that I have been given, I have fulfilled. Mission accomplished. I have done my part. It's your turn to do your part. I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying that essentially Jesus is saying that to God. The word in Greek is teleo, and it's not used every time it says it's over, it's the end, it's complete. But it is used here, and it means specifically the purpose has been fulfilled. It only occurs 30 times in 26 total verses in the New Testament. And 2 of the times are in these verses we just read. It is ended. It is finished. It is done. It is complete. It is carried out. It is accomplished. It is performed. It is fulfilled. It is paid. It is perfected. It is, in a sense, a call to victory. It's like graduation. It's like paying that last payment on the mortgage. All right. It's like finishing a marathon. Now, I want you to notice that it's not Jesus making a personal call to victory. It's a missional call to victory. Jesus doesn't say, I did it. Jesus doesn't say, I made it. There's no I am finished, but it is finished. It is third person. It is passive. Jesus is participating in the action of God. Someone else is fulfilling the mission. But I want you to consider what Jesus has done that allows him in this moment on the cross to say, it's finished. I've done my purpose. My whole purpose was to be here, right now, to get to this place. This is the finish line for me. To be finished, he has to go through being betrayed by his closest friends, denied by one of his closest friends, arrested, mocked, and humiliated, tried, beaten, paraded through town, mocked some more, then nailed to a cross. He spends hours on the cross, and then he says, it is finished. And in this moment, all those other words are completed. Now is when the pardon is finished. Now is when assurance is made and trust and compassion and suffering is exposed. Now Jesus claims victory. Eugene Peterson captures the full sense of the verb in the Message Bible. He says, it's done. Complete. Jesus had accomplished his mission. Sometimes we want to gloss over that the cross is the completing moment and skip ahead to the joyous moment of Easter. Easter tells us that the cross was God. The cross was the purpose. Jesus had come. He had announced and inaugurated the kingdom of God. He had revealed what true love looks like. He confronted both political and religious leaders. He took on all kinds of different folks in places of power. He embodied that love and grace by dying for all the brokenness in the world. Rather than pull out the sword, Jesus goes to the cross. And it opens up a way for all of us to live inside the reign of God. This is the moment when we say, the kingdom of God is at hand. Hear this clearly. Jesus finished his work of salvation, forgiveness, reconciliation, and restoration right here, right now. And hear this clearly. You and I can't add to it. He accomplished his mission. A mission that we never could. Taking our brokenness, our sin upon himself and giving us his life in return. Jesus finishes that for which he had been sent. And we are the beneficiaries of his solitary mission. Because of what Jesus finished, you and I, let me say it this way. Because of what Jesus completed, you and I are never finished, as in done for, given up on, discarded. God never says, I'm finished with you. God never says, I disown you. You are not my son or daughter. We have this hope because of this moment. God's love shown to us in this action on the cross. God's great love shown for us. We now have hope in this life and for the next. We know that nothing can separate us from God's love. One day, what God has begun in us will also be finished by his grace. Until that day, we live in the confidence of Jesus' cry for victory. It is finished. There's this lovely phrase that Joan of Arc said, I am not afraid. I was made for this. I am not afraid. I was made for this. Jesus was made for this. Pardon, assurance, compassion, trust, suffering, victory. All those pieces are packaged together. We don't thin slice them so that they're not one with each other. We grab a hold of this victory parade on Palm Sunday and we pull it into Good Friday, and we grab a hold of Easter and we pull it into Good Friday, and we realize that at the place that cross is planted on Golgotha, that stone that is carved so a cross beam will clearly stay in there and hold up a human body. In that moment, in that place, God saves us, restores us, heals us. A long time ago in a land far, far away, people used to always say, I know the day I was saved, and they could tell the story that they were saved. And as I thought through that, I decided I was going to say every time that I knew when I was saved, the day I was saved was on Good Friday in the year 29 AD when the cross happened. Let us pray. God of grace and love, how can we find the words to express our gratitude to you? You did it. You finished that for which you had been sent. Faithful in life, faithful in death. You accomplished that which no other person could do. Taking on all the brokenness of the world. taking a broken life, broken existence, and transforming us all, restoring us all, and putting us all on a new path that allows us to live inside your kingdom. Your kingdom here and now and forevermore. You have not taken just my sin on. You have taken on the sins of those that I don't sometimes all that like. That all of us might be restored. That all of us might experience pardon and forgiveness and new life. All praise be to you, gracious Lord. Thank you for saving us. Hosanna, save us. For finishing the work of salvation and healing. All praise to you, dear Jesus, for saving us and healing us. Hallelujah. Amen. In response to our words of grace and love, the word of victory this morning, I invite you to stand and affirm our faith together using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.